Let's look at verse 15. And it says, "And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." So where's this word sown? In the hearts. So the word is the seed and the heart is the ground. So that's what we have to see. In order to be able to understand these things properly, we have to be able to see that when Jesus is talking in these parables and he keeps saying the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. What's he saying? The kingdom of God is as if a man should be scattering the word of God into the hearts of man. Now, we're not going to spend much time on this because we're going to get into this later on when we talk about grace and faith, but the word must be mixed with faith in order for it to be profitable in your life. It's not just getting a bunch of teaching and building your Christian library. It's getting the word of God in your heart for the purpose of acting on it. And sometimes it can be scary to act on the word of God. I'm not going to lie to you. Lisa and I, God's told us to go to many different nations of the world, and we've always gone with the majority of our questions unanswered. And I thought I was crazy. And people thought I was crazy too. And then I found out there's a man named Abraham. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, verse 10, somewhere around there. I don't want to go there because I'll spend time teaching on that. But Abraham said, by faith, Abraham obeyed. You can't obey unless you get the word. A word from God. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out, and he went out not knowing where he was going. That stops a lot of Christians right there. How's it going to happen? How's it going to work? And then they just, until they get all the answers, they don't step out. I have discovered this. The answers to a lot of your questions are on the other side of obedience. And so I don't want to go there. We'll talk about that more later. But let's turn to Hebrews 4:2. I'll show you that this is scripture. This is not something I made up. But Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." Okay, it's not enough to acknowledge something's true. See, true scriptural biblical faith, when you look at it, is made up of two things, or it's not faith. Two things. One, believing the word. Two, acting on the word. That's what makes up faith. If you only believe and don't act, the Bible says you're a hearer only, and it also says that it's dead faith. The devil believes, but is he saved? You tell me, the devil doesn't know Jesus is Lord. Is he saved? Well, I'm not going to get into can he be. I'm not getting in there, but he doesn't believe. He doesn't act on it. He's a rebel. He doesn't want it. And then there's people who act without hearing, and the Bible calls that presumption. I could go to a lot of scriptures. Hebrews 11:29, I think it is. It says, "By faith, the children of Israel crossed through the Red Sea as on dry land." Why? God told them to. And it says, "Whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned." That's exactly. He actually told them, stay in Egypt. These guys are leaving. And could you imagine the Egyptians? Think about it. These were slaves. And I don't care where you go, slaves are not looked upon highly anywhere. They probably said, who are these slaves to do that? If they can do it, I can do it. And they drown. So you have to have the word of God and then act on the word of God. It's not enough to act. You have to be acting on the word. Many people mimic someone else and they don't know why it didn't work. The Christian life is not a life of formulas, folks. It's a life of relationship. And that brings me to the next point. The word isn't magical. We're not talking magic here, folks. It's so simple that many times, because it's so simple, we look for something more. Such as, "Pastor, do you have a word of God for me concerning so-and-so?" So I quote the word to them. "Well, I know that, but I was wondering if you had something else." "Pastor, could you help us in our marriage? we're doing really bad, poorly in our marriage. Yes, sure, okay. You start teaching them what the Bible says because that's the only thing that's going to help them. And guess what? The Bible doesn't change. Well, we've already heard that, Pastor. Well, you didn't do it, obviously. It's not magic. And I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. If you become a believer who has God's word deposited in your heart and it's working, you won't need to go running up to everyone else for all your answers all the time. People will be running up to you for answers. I'm telling you, this is the truth. You won't be dependent because you'll have a relationship with God and you will know that God is faithful because you've seen it work time and time and time again. And so God's word isn't magical. It has to be planted in your heart and germinate before it can release its power. We're going to look at that in a little while. But there is no way that you can keep from having your life changed if you will consistently put God's word into your life, meditate on it, and let it have its impact on you and in you. Oh, it can't be that simple. Oh, yes, it can. Oh, yes, it can. When you plant watermelon seeds, what do you expect to get? Is it crazy? But when it comes to spiritual matters, and Jesus is teaching us and telling us this is how it works, the same way that when you plant watermelon seeds in the ground, you get watermelons. If you would just plant my word in your heart, you'll get what the word promises. We say, oh, it can't work the same. We have more faith in this natural realm sometimes than we do in the spiritual realm. And likewise, if you ran up on someone and you see they're watering their lawn and they're watering the garden, and they're watering their little patch. You say, what are you doing? Ah, I'm waiting for my watermelons. And you see the package is over there, and it's not even opened. You say, is this the second package? Oh, no. The package was much too beautiful to tear. How many of you ever seen a seed package? They really make them look nice, don't they? To entice you. And some of us, we do the same thing with the word. We get the nice leather Bible with the golden pages with our name inscribed on the front. We don't want to ruin it. Ruin it. Buy another one. Buy cheap ones if that'll help you read it. So what would you do, though, if you walked up on someone and they're just watering their little patch and you say, did you put the seeds? No. Don't need to. I'm a spirit-filled, tongue-talking, believing Christian. You say, keep watering. All you're going to get is weeds. I'm not minimizing prayer, folks, but prayer is like watering the seed. If there's no seeds, all you're going to get is weeds. The kingdom of God is not magical. Jesus did not say, the kingdom of God is as if a man should kneel on his knees every morning and only pray. Notice I threw in only, just make sure you understand. Folks, I've discovered this. If there's no word in your heart, you're going to be praying wrong anyway. And I've discovered this. If the word is in your heart, your prayers get real short. Because you're believing the word. You're praying the word. And the word is pretty specific and pinpoint. Thank you, Jesus. Your word says you'll supply my needs according to your riches and glory. You know, I don't need to pray anything else. Praise God. So we need to plant God's word in our heart if we want to have the promise of what God's word promises. God's word is powerless in your life until it's planted in your heart. It does no good as a paperweight. It has to get off these pages and into your heart. How does that happen? By you, with the right attitude. I'm not talking about reading the word for the sake of Bible reading. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. It's better to just read the Bible instead of watching something that is not going to give you a life. But when you read the Bible, expect that you're planting seeds. Expect that. Say, Holy Spirit, thank you. You are making this come alive to me. I thank you that words are leaping off the page. How many of you ever had a Bible verse just leap off the page? It produces so much faith in your heart, does it not? You just know what's going to happen, and guess what? It happens. You start believing for that. Every time God spoke to you, majority of cases that when God spoke to you, it's because you chose for Him to speak to you. Think about that. Meditate on that a while. You gave the time necessary to listen. Now, there are some times God interrupts you, but that, how many have discovered that's not very often? God has chosen that He desires for us to want Him more than anything else. And God is always speaking to us. He's always releasing His wisdom towards us, but are we listening? One way to listen is to be in this. Have you not read what was spoken to you by God? Jesus said. So you cannot help but bear fruit in your life if the Word is working in your heart. I've proven it time and time and time and time and time again. And I'm sure a lot of you have as well. So let's go to Mark chapter 4. Let's go to verse 26. I love teaching on this. Mark 4, 26. And He said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." Jesus, who's the living Word, is teaching truth. And it's so simple, we think there must be more to it than that. How many have discovered, especially since coming under the knowledge of grace, it's really simple. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. What is seed from earlier? What is the seed? What is the ground? And remember, the seed is incorruptible. So there's nothing wrong with the seed. But it has to be planted in the heart. Now watch verse 27. Scatter seed on the ground, and he should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. This might set some people free who's overly analytical, which includes me sometimes. Sometimes we want to know, how's it going to happen? How? How, God? I don't understand. If I just believe you, how's it going to work? Remember, if you're going to be like the father of your faith, who's Abraham, there are some characteristics that Abraham had that we must possess. And Abraham went out when God told him, not knowing where he was going. Now think about this. Abraham didn't go out alone, even though God did tell him to go out alone. Take his immediate family, but he went out. And could you imagine? People saying, "Abraham, where are we going?" It's a natural question. Where are we going? Don't know. But it's this way. I guarantee you they had a crisis family meeting without Abraham. "Do you think he's got an Alzheimer's? What do you think's going on? He's lost his mind. Abraham's never been like this before. He's a successful businessman. He's never been like this. Something's wrong." Folks, when you start planting the Word in your heart and you start acting on the Word, get ready for criticism. Expect it. I didn't say want it. I just said expect it. Because when you start believing God, everyone else will, I don't know why, but they get condemned. The ones who aren't. Not that you're trying to. You're not condemning them. You're not even thinking about them. But it reveals their own lack of faith and believing God. Technically, lack of believing, because we all have the measure of faith. And so there are people who will secretly hope you fail so that they can say, "Oh, I'm off the hook. It doesn't work." I can't tell you how many times we believed God and stepped out and people tried to talk us out of what God told us. I could give testimony after testimony. I could have Lisa come up here and talk about our wedding where people were telling her, "Well, maybe you didn't hear God right because it wasn't looking good." But guess what? The last week, everything came together supernaturally for our wedding. And my best man, there were very few people who knew. There was nothing. I mean, money came in miraculously, all kind of things. I don't want to get into there. Maybe I'll talk about some of these testimonies later. But, I mean, things just started to happen supernaturally. I mean, things just started to happen. And my best man said, "If anyone," and we had a lot of people attacking us, saying, "God told me you're not supposed to be married." And I said, "I don't care, because God told me we are. And I would never listen to you anyway. Why would God waste his time giving me a message through you?" Some of you, that's a word. Because you have people who are negative, and you are validating and you're valuing their opinion more than God's. and with all love, stop it. I say that with all the grace and love I can. And it was so awesome because we're in the Bible school, and everyone there obviously loved Andrew Womack because he was the main guy. He has his name on the thing, you know? And all these little students are practicing hearing God on us. And we had people that were supporting us, but it was weird. It was just the devil because it was of God. And Andrew, in a camp meeting, all the students are there, people are there, and he says, Sean and Lisa, God just shows me he put you two together. You see, everyone look. Now, who am I going to listen to more so, other than what God's already told me? You or Andrew? You're in his school, like me. I'm saying this for a purpose, folks, because we let all of these opinions stop us from walking in what God has for us. And Abraham didn't know where he was going. And where are we going, Abraham? I don't know, but it's this way, and I'll tell you when we get there. And I can imagine he ran like Moses. Man, don't you love Moses? There at the Red Sea, the army's there. He says, be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Hold on. God, help! Read it. What did God say? Lift up your arm. He had a word. Never been done before. Who cares? Don't you want to be the first one? No one's ever done that before. Well, it's about time it started. If God told you. Notice what I said. Back in Mark chapter 4. Should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. You don't have to know how it's going to work. You just have to know it will. Notice what I said. I didn't say you don't have to believe it will. I said you don't have to know how it will, but you believe it will. And don't try to figure out which avenue God's going to do it from. Because a lot of times it doesn't happen at all the way you thought. Let's look at verse 28. This is very important to understand. For the earth yields crops by itself. What is the earth? What's the ground? Do you see this? You are not producing the fruit. I don't know if you've ever tried to produce fruit before. It's misery. And especially if you're a preacher, you understand that. Boy, in Trinidad, trying to produce fruit. I finally gave up and started seeing fruit. Because I started to realize it wasn't my message that was going to make it happen. It was the heart and people believing in the Holy Spirit. I'm just the messenger. I'm the seed scatterer. That's it. It's the only job I have. I mean, yes, talk with people. But that's our job. Because it's the heart that produces. Not my teaching style. Whether or not you like it or not, I discovered a long time ago, if the Holy Spirit isn't using what I say, it doesn't matter how I said it. And if the Holy Spirit is, it doesn't even matter if I can't preach my way out of a wet paper bag. That's a saying in America we have. Man, he can't preach his way out of a wet paper bag. That's not a compliment. How many of you notice a wet paper bag, you can break it real easy, huh? So it's the Holy Spirit believing. The Word and the Holy Spirit causes things to happen. But here it says, for the earth yields crops by itself. There's an anointing that is on your heart that when the seed of God's Word drops into it, it germinates. Just as when you plant a watermelon seed in the ground, as long as that seed stays in the packet, it has all the potential, but it will not be able to realize its potential until it's planted in the ground. And so the Word of God, the seed of God's Word, has all the potential of God in it. But it will not realize the potential in you until it's planted in your heart. That's why you can't be born again without the Word of God in your heart. The greatest miracle ever happened in your life took the Word of God being planted in your heart. And it germinated. It may not have happened overnight. It may have been a period of time. Someone just teaching the truth, explaining the truth, showing you love, just sitting there. It's in your heart. And when you're in bed at night, when all the stuff is quiet, the Holy Spirit has a way of getting you to start thinking about eternal things. And because someone was faithful to scatter seed, that seed was in your heart, whether it was your parents or whoever it was. But it was the seed that produced the results, when it was in your heart. So here it says, the earth yields crops by itself, the heart will yield crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. What does that mean? It means it doesn't happen overnight. Sorry. I know we all would like microwave Christianity, but everything in life doesn't happen like this. Some things do, some things don't. Okay, being born again, like that. Getting to where you're starting to believe and live out of that takes some time. Because you have to learn some things, and you have to start believing some things. Start believing them more than what you see in the mirror. More than how you feel about yourself. How many of you had one of your biggest challenges, especially since receiving grace and still can be a challenge, is how you view yourself, even though the Word says this. I know the Word says this, but that was my problem for a long time. Why would anyone want to listen to me preach? And you know what? As soon as I stopped thinking like that, I started preaching to more people. It's weird. But we have to agree with God. And when we agree with God, we start to see the results and the promises that He showed us. So anyway, it says, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. That shows us that growth comes in stages in our life. It doesn't always happen overnight. So don't become discouraged when everything isn't sorted out by 12 o'clock tomorrow. That you're not just like Jesus in every single way by 12 o'clock tomorrow. Now, in your heart you are, but it's a process of you coming into agreement with that and believing that and walking in it. The issue is not how long is it taking, but is it happening? Now, there are things we can do to speed it up, such as we can become more desirous to focus on the truths of God's Word to the exclusion of focusing on all of the bombardment of this world. See, a lot of times, that's really sometimes what's hindering us. We're getting in the Word and then washing it down with all of the wrong information over here, and we wonder why it seems like we're stunted in some ways. That's it. That could be one major, major reason. See, these are practical things. I didn't say you're not born again. I didn't say God's mad at you. I didn't say that. That's not what I said. So don't hear that. But the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6, I believe it's around verse 9, it says, do not grow weary in well-doing. And if you look before that, it talked about sowing. Let's just go there real quick. Galatians chapter 6. Because this is, since you're sowing the Word, talking about sowing the Word, we need to think about this. Galatians 6, 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So, what God's... See, so many times we focus on the negative part of that verse, don't we? By human nature, we zero in on the, corruption. Oh, sow to the flesh, reap corruption. Focus on the next part. So you know what? I want to be a person that consistently sows the spiritual things, the things that are true. And God says if I do that, He's not mocked. See, this is not talking about God's angry, folks. You have to read this right. It says God's not mocked. In other words, this is the way it is. If you sow the good things, regardless of how you feel, it's going to produce what it says it will produce. You have to believe that. But so often we spend time in the Word, and because we didn't have this dramatic, earth-shaking, angelic visitation, we think nothing happened. That's a lie from the pit of hell. When you sow seeds in the natural ground, you don't see instantaneous crops. But yet you know it's working. Think about it. Right? God's not mocked. Sow the right things, and I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what your family says. I don't care what your neighbors say. I don't care what your friends say. You're going to reap good stuff. Let's focus on that. Because human tendency, I don't know why, but we more easily gravitate to the negative. If you don't believe me, turn the news on. Is that all that's happening? There's awesome things happening. How come there's no news crew reporting what's going on here? Because humans gravitate to the negative. So if we're going to be someone who's really going to be solid, we have to gravitate to the positive, which is Jesus. And it's going to be a choice. So it says, sow to the Spirit, and you will, not you might, you will reap everlasting life. And I don't think that's just talking about born again. I'm talking about that's life, eternal life, everlasting life, God's life, Zoe life, a life that's awesome, a life that's abundant, right here, right now. Not waiting till then. Because you don't sow to get born again. You believe the seed, you get born again. Verse 9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So there's a process that takes place. Now, honestly, I don't like that. I want it. I don't know about you, but I like it now. You know, we go to McDonald's, we have drive-thru. And if we don't have it in 2 minutes, where's the manager? Let's go back over to John 4. I'm sorry, Mark 4. Jesus says, if you plant the word, the kingdom of God is of a man should scatter seed. If you plant the word in your heart is going to produce the fruit. So there's a lot of things that we can look at. So I want to real quickly, I don't have time to go into this in depth, but let's look at the different conditions of the heart. And I believe that this is true of all of us at all times in different areas of our lives. How many of you are honestly can say, I'm bearing fruit in this area, but in this area, think about it. And so this is not just limited to four different types of people. This is limited to four conditions of the heart. It can be four different types of people. But it can also believe that it can be us at the same time in different areas. I may be believing God in this area strongly and seeing results, but in this area, for whatever reason, I'm still dealing and wading through fears and doubts. It's true. So Mark chapter 4, and let's look at verse 15. It says, these are ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately. Sorry about that. And takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So the first type of ground is someone who, because for whatever reason, and if you go over to Matthew chapter 13, you'll see it's understanding. Matthew chapter 13, I didn't put this on your notes, but Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8 are all the same story, but they give different nuggets and different things concerning what Jesus is teaching here. And so the Bible says, because they didn't understand the word, Satan was able to come and take it. Now, there's different reasons why people don't understand. One, you didn't preach it in the way that they could understand, a different language. They could be children. How many of your children have a different understanding capacity than adults? In most cases, not always, but in most cases. Sometimes people are in church and they're just not listening. It's true. One guy's blessed, the next guy is sleeping. Same church, same pastor, same message. One guy's life's being transformed, and the next one is saying, this is the most ridiculous church. That was the most boring message. I can't stand this place. Not this church. So what's the problem? Was it the seed that was the problem? See, again, the seed's incorruptible. The issue is our heart. And I can teach so much on this, but I don't have time. But I want you to notice it says that Satan comes immediately and takes the word that was sown. The devil doesn't leave seed sitting on someone's heart, because when that heart softens, it slips right in there. The devil has more, he believes more in the word of God than most Christians. A lot of us leave our Bibles, hopefully not in this church, but we leave our Bibles on our coffee table. And the devil will not, for 1 minute, if he has a chance, to leave one seed on one person's heart. Let's keep reading. Verse 16 says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Now that's a lot of Christians. They receive it with gladness. Oh, that was such a beautiful message. That's it. That's what I'm believing. That's what I'm going for. Now folks, that is something that genuinely happened. Okay? But what happens? Notice as it says, verse 17 says, and they have no root in themselves. In other words, they did not allow the word of God by being absolutely determined that they believe that this is true no matter what. When you do that and you say the word is true no matter what, you allow that word to start growing deep, deep roots. And let me tell you something. How many of you have ever had a fruit tree grow in your yard? If you plant the seed, most of the time, the first growth goes in the root system long before you ever see the fruit system. So the devil knows this as well. And verse 17 says, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Now we can talk about endurance. I think it was Hebrews chapter 10 or Hebrews chapter 12. Says something about when you were illuminated by the word of God, you endured a great trial of affliction. That's not God doing that. We're going to see that in just a second. But it says, so they endure only for a time, but afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Notice it says that affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake. This will solve so much bad doctrine about God sends persecution against the church. God sends trouble to make you better. Folks, we just learned that the word of God makes you equipped and thoroughly equips you for every good work, not problems. The Bible says that when you get in the word, you're now a threat to the devil. So the devil says, we have to do something to get this person to back down, back off. So what happens? Now, I'm not preaching believing the wrong thing here, but I'm just saying we have to understand that when we get excited about the Word of God, it's a compliment when trouble springs up immediately. So instead of saying, oh my Lord, what is going on? I thought the Word was true. I guess it's not so true in my place. Maybe it's true, but I won't be so aggressive. Maybe my neighbor was right. And the whole thing is, if the devil, he can't keep you from getting the seed in your heart, he'll keep you from pursuing it with all of your heart. He'll try to neutralize that which has been deposited. And notice, he can't do it without your cooperation. That, my friend, was that's something good to write down. Because when we recognize that when we receive the word of God in a certain area, let's say healing, say, that's it, I know God's will is for me to be healed. Have you ever noticed that all of a sudden sometimes things spring up? Or you start preaching the word of healing and all of a sudden you get sick? And you say, I can't pray for someone else now. I'm sick right now. The devil is doing this to get you to back down from being so radical. We have to say, you know what, I don't care what the circumstances look like. God's word is true no matter what is happening right now. I'm not backing down. I'm going to believe what he says, and I'm going to see it work. I think we're supposed to be finishing up. Let's look at verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. Notice this is the third type. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Notice it was at one time bearing fruit. You know what's sad? I have noticed in my own life, I'm just going to be honest, that some areas where I used to be bearing fruit, now it's kind of stagnant. Why? I stopped being aggressive in that area. So you know what the devil's third tactic is? Okay, I couldn't get them from understanding the word because they wanted the word. I couldn't stop them from having the word implanted in the heart. I couldn't get them offended because of the problems I brought against them. What is our next tactic? Join their life. Get them busy to where they still believe the word and they still remember the good old days when God used to move. What happened? They started getting busy, even sometimes with ministry, with businesses. And folks, we need to work. We need to make an income. I'm not saying that. But when you start to get your eyes off of the most important thing and you start to back down, you used to be in church every time the doors was open, not because you're trying to earn God's favor, but because you loved God and you just wanted to be in the Word. You wanted to be with other believers. You wanted to do all those things. And now you're busy and now you start backing down. And now maybe you come to church once every now and then because now you're so busy and it's not as important to you anymore as it was at one time. Folks, it's not a condemning thing here. I believe it's not people here. You wouldn't be here on Wednesday night. But what we have to see is that the devil starts to switch tactics. If he can't get you to not believe, he'll start to get you to be proud in some ways that you believe that And think about all the times it used to work, but even though, be honest, it's not really working right now. You became unfruitful. Why? Because you allowed other things to take more priority than those true spiritual matters. Now, there's lots of Christians who say, man, I remember the time when I really had a dynamic relationship with God. I remember that. They're still in church. They're still saved. They still love God. But who's the one who backed away? Not God. We did. And remember, again, the problem's not the seed. The problem's the condition of the heart. And I don't have time to go into the fourth one. I just went real quickly. But the fourth one, someone who receives the word, and they're going for it, and they're bearing fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. And it wasn't because they're so awesome. It was just because they believed the word, and the word was producing. They allowed the word to produce in their lives, and they didn't back down. That's what we need to be, folks. We need to be people who are people of the word, people who are people of the spirit, people who love God, and I believe we all do here. We just love God. We want God. We want what he has for us. We're not taking no for an answer. We're being aggressive in the proper way. And I mean aggressive against the kingdom of Satan, not against fellow believers. Amen. And if we do that, we'll start to see things work better and better. Amen.